My good people, hello world. I want to thank you all for joining your boy on the very first edition of the show that's hot with your boy, Rob Scott. This is Rob's 2 cents. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We damn sure do. We saw a jam-packed NFL Sunday. We saw a couple of games that we expected that to happen that way, and then we saw a couple of games where we didn't see that coming. Which brings me to my first topic. Let me tell you guys something. I was one of those people that doubted. I did not think that the Buccaneers will fall twice to the New Orleans Saints. If we look at Tom Brady's history, in his illustrious career, he has never been swept by a division team until now, until going to the AFC, until taking his talents to the NFC South, taking his talents to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then I want to correct what I said earlier. That wasn't until he left the AFC to join the NFC and take his talents to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, take his talents to the NFC South. And the New Orleans Saints said that even though you are the great Tom Brady, we have a recipe on how to beat you. Because everybody knows, historically speaking, to prevent a great quarterback like Tom Brady from completely picking your defense apart, you have to put pressure on him. You have to get him to run outside that pocket. You have to get him to try to make these passes on the move, and that's exactly what the New Orleans Saints did to the GOAT Tom Brady. They made him feel very uncomfortable. They made him try to do some things that we see from the best quarterback in the league right now, Pat Mahomes, which Tom Brady has an arm, but he does not have that same arm strength that he used to have back in the day. And then even with that being said, Tom Brady was never your traditional mobile quarterback. He was more of a traditional pocket passer. So the New Orleans Saints had a game plan. Their coaching staff studied Tom Brady, studied what the Buccaneers wanted to do. We did see the debut of Antonio Brown yesterday, which he didn't have much of an impact, and that was due to the fact that Tom Brady didn't have much of an impact on the game, throwing 3 interceptions, completing no touchdowns, so they made him look subpar. However, I will never, ever go against the GOAT, and we've seen him historically in the past. When he tends to get blown out by teams, he always comes back stronger than ever, and 9 times out of 10, he does win a Super Bowl. So you have to be on the lookout for that. But how can we start the NFL conversation without talking about the number one team in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs, led by the great Patrick Mahomes, who is cementing his name into NFL history? Because I believe when it's all said and done, he will also be in that GOAT conversation as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game of professional football. Let me tell you guys something. Patrick Mahomes is on a tear right now. He's at 25 touchdowns on the year with only 1 interception. Pat Mahomes has his team rocking and rolling. The only thing that scares me about the Kansas City Chiefs is, can that run game help Pat Mahomes? Can you win a Super Bowl with your quarterback averaging almost 45 passes? We will see. We will see. But yesterday, it was business as usual. They went against the Carolina Panthers. Final score, 33-31. It was a hard-fought victory. Pat Mahomes, amazing. 4 touchdowns on the day. 0 interceptions, 372 yards. This guy is playing out of his mind. He also had his teammates there to support him. Travis Kelce, who's probably one of the best tight ends in the league right now. 10 catches, 159 yards. Tyreek Hill, 9 catches, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Kansas City Chiefs had it rolling against the Panthers. And they look like right now they are on one of those streaks where they're getting better and better each game. Even though Pittsburgh owns the best record in the league, being the only undefeated team in the league at 8-0, the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, right now are a better football team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is Rob's Two Cents. You're hearing it here first. Especially if you look at who Pittsburgh had to beat in order to get to this record. Yesterday they did beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys have been depleted due to injury. We saw what happened to Dak Prescott. We saw what happened to Andy Dalton. I don't even know what quarterback they're on right now. They're just depleted. They put up a fight yesterday. The Pittsburgh Steelers, however, were able to hold on and beat them with the fourth quarter comeback, scoring 15 points in the fourth. But let's be real. They really played no real competition. If we look at the teams that they've beaten on their way to being undefeated, they played the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, the Eagles, the Browns, and last night the Cowboys. You tell me which one of those teams has a winning record. Don't worry, I'll wait. We're not going to deny what Pittsburgh has done. They're on a historic season, at least by their franchise standards. Pittsburgh, as we know, Big Ben's been there before. He is a Super Bowl champion. So you cannot deny the grit of that steel curtain out there in Pittsburgh. However, I want to see them play some competition first before we're ready to crown them champions. But if we look at the AFC standings, we have Pittsburgh number one, Kansas City number two, Bills number three, Titans number four, Ravens number five. We saw the Bills yesterday beat up on a Seattle team, made them look subpar. Russell Wilson, I believe he had three or four turnovers on the day. I know at least two interceptions that I saw, and then he also had the strip fumble in the fourth. It was not pretty. It was not a pretty day yesterday for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. That defense still a little shaky, still not quite that Legion of Boom. A lot of questions around that defense. However, I do believe that Russell Wilson can bounce back. However, looks like he's in a little bit of a slump because he's been playing some bad football for the past three games now. So let's hope Russell Wilson's able to get himself back into football form. Again, we saw the Titans versus my woeful Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears are very inconsistent in their play. We tried to find and search and hope that Nick Foles was the answer to all of our prayers. However, that has not been the case. Foles has not had a great season so far. Even though the Bears defense, I believe, tried to give us a chance, they held Derrick Henry at bay, the stud running back out there in Tennessee, but he only had 21 carries for the day, 68 yards, zero touchdowns. The Bears did their thing. However, Josh Allen had a hell of a, that was for the Buffalo Bills, but the Titans just had their way with the Bears. The offense could not get anything going, and the Bears really didn't score any points until garbage time. And then we saw the Ravens beat the Colts. Lamar Jackson, 19 for 23 on the day, 170 yards, zero touchdown, one rushing touchdown. Subpar day for him. He can play better. However, I am happy at the fact that he looks like he wants to help allow his team to help him win, so he's not doing too much. So that way his game can play out more smoothly out there on the field. And then we look at the NFC standings. We have, I believe now the Saints are number one in the NFC, or it could be Seattle still at that number one spot. I know the Saints are at the number two spot at least because they own the tiebreaker between them and the Buccaneers. Again, sweeping the Buccaneers in the season series. We have the Packers at number three. We have the woeful Eagles at number four. And then the Bucks will be now number five, hoping that they can at least get into that wild card spot, because now that the Saints has this lead in the division, I don't see them relinquishing it back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Packers are probably the strongest team in the division right now. I mean, in the conference. Even though I know that's our NFC North rivals right now, Aaron Rodgers is on a different level right now. He looks like he's poised to make a Super Bowl push, at least make some noise in the playoffs. I believe him and Davante Adams is probably either the best duel or at least in the top three duels of the NBA, I mean of the NFL. Right now, even if we look at the game against the 49ers, who's completely depleted due to COVID, Davante Adams had 10 catches, just going berserk out there. Aaron Rodgers throwing 4 touchdowns. I mean, what more can you say about this team? About the Green Bay Packers. They have been playing excellent football, and I know those cheese heads are happy out there. But I also want to give a shout-out to Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees now holds the record and continuing and counting of most touchdown passes completed at 564, and he doesn't look to be slowing down. Tom Brady right now right behind him at 561. So this is going to be an interesting race to the finish. This is a race for history because we don't know if Tom Brady is going to be back next year. We don't know if Drew Brees is going to be back next year. We can only hope that we continue to see some great football. But Rob's two cents on the NFL, as I mentioned before, Kansas City Chiefs, best team in the league right now. Pat Mahomes looks like he's on another level. He looks like he's 10 steps ahead of the competition and 20 steps ahead of any quarterback taking that title of best quarterback in the league right now. So I believe that when it's all said and done, Kansas City Chiefs will be holding up their second Super Bowl title. Pat Mahomes will probably go for a clean sweep of being not only the MVP of the league, but the MVP of the Super Bowl. You heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. And as we continue to move on, we look at the landscape of the NBA right now. The official return date for the NBA, December 22nd, players and the owners and the NBA upper management have agreed on the start date of December 22nd. So we were going to have basketball returning to us very soon. As we know, a couple players did not like that. One of those players being, of course, LeBron James, which is understandable. Before people give LeBron a hard time, you have to understand he's going into his 18th year. He just played in a bubble after being off for 5 months. He comes into the bubble. He plays, I believe, at least 7 regular season games. He only gets a little rest while the bottom seed played in that play-in tournament, which the NBA is going to be bringing back this year, which I believe it was exciting to see these teams put it all out there on the line to get those 7th and 8th spots. But we saw LeBron James then have to play in the playoffs, play in the NBA Finals, and I believe the season ended in October, so you're going right back. December 22nd, I believe that's like a 71-day turnaround. So, of course, he can be a little mad, and he has the right to, because his body, as great a shape as he's in, he's been taking a beating. And now you're telling him to go right back out there to take a beating. So there's been some discussions that he might not play the first half of the season. However, we don't know if that's going to benefit the Lakers, because can the Lakers really afford for LeBron to sit out the first half of the season? Especially if they don't get any high free agent to come sign with them. Any person with some talent out there in the NBA. So right now with the team built as is, you're going to need both AD and LeBron out there, especially too with the questions of, is AD going to re-sign back with the Lakers? We're going to announce that the NBA draft is going to be happening on November 18th, and then trade discussions and free agency will be happening right after that NBA draft. So, and it's about to be some chaotic times within the NBA. We have a couple of teams looking for some possible trades, as we know that the Lakers are interested in CP3, and now come to find out they are also interested in Big Serge Ibaka, which I think will be a great pickup for the Los Angeles Lakers, especially if you're not able to keep Dwight Howard or you're not able to keep JaVale McGee. You at least have another versatile big, somebody with who can play not only on the inside as far as defense goes and protect the paint, but somebody that can also pick and pop and step out there in that three-point line. And as we know, LeBron James loves his players that can space the floor, especially if you're a big man. Give him space to do his work on the inside. Also, we noticed that the Milwaukee Bucks are interested in Bogdan Bogdanovic from Sacramento, which I think will be a great pickup for them, especially if they're able to keep Giannis, which is Milwaukee's number one priority right now, because even though Giannis is not a free agent this year, we do know he will probably be the biggest name on free agency next year. We know a lot of teams are in that hunt for Giannis. Even right now, front offices are trying to make a deal for the Milwaukee Bucks to deal him off, especially if he doesn't plan on staying there, which would be a smart move by Milwaukee's executive team. Hey, if you don't want to play here, you're not going to sign here again, let's at least get something out of the deal before we just let you walk away. So I believe if they're able to keep Giannis and you bring in a Bogdan Bogdanovic, somebody who's a consistent shooter, somebody who can help Chris Middleton out there on the floor as far as with spacing and shooting goes, you might entice Giannis to stay. However, what you get on defense, on offense, you will lose some on defense, because Bogdan is not a player that's just gonna lock you down. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that goes about. And we also know that the Miami Heat interested in Bradley Beal, interested in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and now interested in Drew Holiday, which I do like the sound of Drew Holiday playing with Jimmy Butler. You want to talk about hard hat, lunch pail. You want to talk about coming to work, punching in, giving it 120%, and leaving nothing on the line. You're talking about two players like a Drew Holiday, like a Jimmy Butler. We're going to have some fantastic basketball coming up in this upcoming season, and I am just excited. A couple of side notes here. I do want to tell people to beware of my Warriors. Yes, my Warriors. You cannot count Steph and Klay out. And I know that they have the number two pick in the draft, not to mention they have some cap space, and they have some wiggle room and some trading pieces, such as Andrew Wiggins, to put the Golden State Warriors back into prominence, back into the top where they belong. So keep your eyes on the Golden State Warriors. Also, we're being told by the NBA that they are going to allow limited seating in the arena. So that's been one of the priorities of all sports, sporting events, to get the fans back, because what is a game without the greatest part of the game, which are the fans? The fans give the energy. It's people like us who cheer on our favorite players, who cheer on our favorite team, and share our energy when they go out there on the field, or they go out there on the court or in the wrestling ring, and they do the damn thing. We need the fans back in the arena. NBA right now talking about 25% to 50% capacity. So we'll start to see some fans back into the arena, which will be a good thing. Also, as I mentioned, the NBA might be doing another play-in style tournament to determine the 7th and 8th seeds when it's almost time to kick in the gear for the playoffs to start. So we have a lot of interesting things in the NBA right now. You will be getting my two cents as the draft is over and as free agency is open. You will be hearing my two cents on the teams to look out for the upcoming season. And as I get the info, best believe you'll get the info too, because we're going to talk that talk here on this show. And moving on, last order of business, we're going to discuss the wrestling business right now. I want to thank you for staying with me so far. We're going to go right into AEW, who just had a terrific pay-per-view. this past weekend. Called Full Gear. It had some great matches. You had the opening match of Kenny Omega versus Adam Hangman Page to determine who's going to be the number one contender for the AEW championship. Kenny Omega won, by the way, but they put on a hell of a match. And if you want to talk about the new style of wrestling, giving you a little bit of that old school feel, but with the athleticism that these wrestlers possess today, wow, what a great match. Kenny Omega has kind of went back into his cleaner persona, in which he used to have back in New Japan Wrestling, in which he was a part of the Bullet Club. If you guys don't know who the Bullet Club is, go check them out. It was a group that was ran by Finn Balor at first, who's on NXT now, had Luke. Had Anderson, had Gallows, had AJ Styles, who's now in the WWE. Gallows and Anderson's in TNA. They had the Young Bucks. We had Kenny Omega. We had Cody Rhodes. I mean, the Bullet Club had some top-notch, some grade A wrestlers within that club. Was definitely some exciting times back in the day with New Japan Wrestling. And again, I advise, if you don't know about New Japan Wrestling, which I am still finding more out about to this day, you can definitely go watch some of their clips. They produce a great show over there out there in the Tokyo Dome in Japan. Also, we had on the Full Gear card the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson versus FTR, formerly known as The Revival. I know that's not what FTR stands for, just giving you some perspective on who they are. Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, who were the current tag team champions, lost their tag team championships to the Young Bucks, who stated that if they didn't win that match, that they would not compete for the tag team championships ever again for AEW. So it was kind of imperative for them to win that match. I almost wanted to see them lose because I wanted to see the dynamic of them and Cody Rhodes and how Cody Rhodes said that if he didn't win the AEW World Heavyweight Championship against Chris Jericho, who was the champion at the time, that he would not go for the AEW Championship, in which we saw him lose, in which he is now the TNT Championship, until he went against Darby Allin at Full Gear on Saturday, and we saw Darby Allin become the newly crowned TNT Champion. I am excited for Darby Allin. He kind of made a statement when he had this little beef that he had with Dean Ambrose and the amazing match they had. I knew Darby Allin was a star in the making, and I am excited to see where Darby Allin's career is going to go. He has some great skills. He's great at his character, the daredevil, the punk rock skater, the rebel. I love Darby Allin. He's going to be a great superstar for some time to come. And then we had the Ayatollah of Rock and Roller. We had Y2J, Chris Jericho, the Demo God, breathing in, man. Versus MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, in a match to determine if MJF was going to be eligible to join the Inner Circle, which is Chris Jericho group, consisted of Sammy Guevara, Jake Hagar, and Santana and Ortiz. A great wrestling group. I think the premier group of AEW. They have a lot of fun, and having Chris Jericho as your leader, somebody who is a legend in the game, the very first undisputed heavyweight champion of the world when he was back in with his time with WWE. He lost to MJF, though, however. MJF out-asshole Chris Jericho. Never thought we'd hear that, right? But MJF is a great heel. As you all know, a heel in the wrestling business is a bad guy. I like that heel-on-heel matchup. So I guess now that MJF is with the Inner Circle, He also brings Warlow with him. I'm thinking maybe on later on down the line that MJF himself will become the leader of the Inner Circle, but we will definitely be paying attention to that storyline. And last but not least, one of the matches I want to talk about, of course, was the main event, which featured Jon Moxley, the current AEW World Heavyweight Champion, versus Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match. And let me tell you, in the words of good old JR, this match was not for the weak of heart. That match was brutal. They beat the shit out of each other and told a beautiful story while they were doing it. I want to give kudos to Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston. First of all, we're seeing Eddie Kingston headline a pay-per-view in 2020 in professional wrestling. I myself will tell you, I had no idea who Eddie Kingston was before AEW, but seeing the promos that this guy cut, seeing the heart that he puts into his craft, and how you can tell he consistently works on his craft. AEW. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I mean, I've never seen a finish like that before. Seeing a man wrap barbed wire around his arm to choke you. And as he's choking you, you can see the spikes from the barbed wire going into Eddie Kingston's neck to the point where, yeah, you said that the only way I can get you to quit is if you die. Well, I'm going to try to kill you. You're going to say, I quit. And I quit is what Eddie Kingston said, but what a hell of a match. He should not hold his head down. He was a hell of a challenger, but now that's going to open up this storyline with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. I am excited about that upcoming matchup. I believe Kenny Omega should win. Kenny Omega deserves the title on him. Kenny Omega has that it factor, that star power. AEW has been putting on a great product from the time that they've opened their doors a year, a little bit over a year and a half ago. So kudos to AEW. I appreciate the product that you're giving us. I appreciate the urgency that you now placed on the WWE to give us a great product. As we know with WWE, they have a pay-per-view coming up, one of the most famous pay-per-views in WWE history, the Survivor Series. This is where The Undertaker made his first appearance in the WWE 30 years ago, and I believe he's gonna make an appearance for this Survivor Series. As we know, The Undertaker is now officially retired. However, it will only be fitting to see the Dead Man one more time at the Survivor Series pay-per-view. And of course, you know it's gonna be the Raw versus SmackDown thing going on. So you're gonna have champion versus champion. Bobby Lashley, who's the current U.S. champion over on Raw, will be going against Sami Zayn, who's the current Intercontinental champion over on SmackDown. You're gonna have Asuka, who's the current Raw Women's Champion, versus Sasha Banks, who just successfully defended her title against Bayley, over on SmackDown this past Thursday as the SmackDown Live's Women's Champion. You're gonna have the New Day, consisting of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, who is the Raw Tag Team Champions, versus the Street Profits, consisting of Angelo Dawkins and my boy Montez Ford, who are the respectful SmackDown Live WWE Championship. And then we're gonna have Randy Orton, who's the champion over there on WWE Raw, the World Heavyweight Champion, versus the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, who is the Universal Heavyweight Champion over on SmackDown. So we have some interesting matchups coming up. As you know, they also do the traditional Raw versus SmackDown elimination, five-man elimination match, which would consist of, so far, On Raw side, you have the big man, Keith Lee, the Limitless One, Braun Strowman, the Monster Among Men, Sheamus, and AJ Styles, the phenomenal AJ Styles, who has self-proclaimed himself as the captain of Team Raw. And over there on SmackDown, you have the big KO, Kevin Owens, versus the SmackDown Live Messiah now, Seth Rollins. You also have King Corbin, and you have Jey Uso. And let's talk about Jey Uso. What a storyline the WWE has given us lately with Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, and him conforming and bowing down to Roman Reigns as the head of the table. As we know, Roman Reigns came back, won the Universal Championship, and Jey Uso had a match on SmackDown. I think it was a four-way match to see who was going to be the new number one contender for Roman Reigns' title, in which Jey Uso surprisingly won. Right now, Jey Uso is doing a singles thing with Jimmy Uso recovering from surgery that he just had. So the first match we saw with Roman and Jey Uso, we literally just saw Roman come in. Jey Uso put up a great fight, but in the end, Roman kicked the shit out of Jey Uso, which brought them back to a rematch that they had at Hell in a Cell, which was also an I Quit match. Right? A lot of I Quit matches going on in wrestling right now. And which we saw Roman Reigns and Jey Uso again steal the show, put on a hell of a matchup. I actually believe they opened the show up at Hell in a Cell with that Universal Heavyweight Championship match. And we saw Roman Reigns about to end the career of Jey Uso when he was hovering over his head with those steel steps. And we seen Jimmy Uso run out to tell Roman that, you know, he's changing, and their family, and don't do this to destroy their family. And then we saw Roman Reigns proceed to choke out Jimmy Uso, which in turn made Jey Uso look up and say, "I quit." So we have an interesting storyline going over there with WWE SmackDown right now. And now that Jey Uso has lost at Hell in a Cell, he now has bowed down to Roman's will. And let's just say Roman Reigns right now with this character development, with this heel turn, it was needed. It was necessary. And to match him up with Paul Heyman was genius, considering the fact that Paul Heyman is a genius and everything he touches turns to gold. Paul Heyman is one of the brilliant minds of the wrestling business. And to see him pair up with Roman Reigns, calling him the tribal chief, calling him the head of the table, and actually seeing moments where he shows more fear to Roman Reigns than he showed to Brock Lesnar. Let that sizzle in your spirit. Shout out to Country Wayne. Right now, WWE is putting on a great product. We look at what's going on with Monday Night Raw. We have The Fiend now, Bray Wyatt, who has aligned himself with Alexa Bliss. Kind of got that Joker and Harley Quinn thing going on right now. He looks like he's going to be getting into a little beef with Randy Orton. I also love the long-term storytelling with that story, as Randy Orton faked out Bray Wyatt a couple years ago into thinking that he joined the Wyatt family, and all it was just his ploy to remove that WWE Heavyweight Championship from Bray Wyatt, in which we saw Randy Orton defeat Bray Wyatt at the Show of Shows at WrestleMania with the three most devastating letters in all of WWE, with the RKO. Right, like I said, wrestling has given us some great product from both shows, from both AEW and WWE. I'm going to start watching TNA now. As I've heard that they've had some great shows over there as well. Right now is a great time to be a wrestling fan. It helped us get through these troubling times that we've seen with COVID to keep us entertained. Some companies opt to have some people in the arena. WWE has opted into still having the virtual fans. So whatever, in whichever way they decide to go, we appreciate them for continuing to give us a great product. Which brings me to the last segment of my show. Stone Cold Steve Austin. And even for those who don't know anything about professional wrestling, Stone Cold Steve Austin is a name that most people know. And as we found out from the past week, he's going to be getting the Last Dance treatment. He's going to have the producers that worked on Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls Last Dance documentary, which pretty much illustrated the 1990s, the decade that the Chicago Bulls ran rampant over, those producers are now going to be working with Stone Cold Steve Austin on his upcoming documentary that I believe is scheduled to be released sometime maybe late spring in 2021. I am one of those people who is personally excited to see this documentary. In case you don't know what Stone Cold has done in the wrestling industry, let me run you down a few of his accolades. He's a 6-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, 2-time Intercontinental Champion. He's a million-dollar champ holder, which was a title created by Ted DiBiase and was only given to members of his staple. He was a 4-time tag team champion with partners including Shawn Michaels, Dude Love, Triple H, and of course The Undertaker. 1996 King of the Ring winner, where he gave that infamous promo, which I believe took him to superstardom, which was Austin 316 says, "I just whipped your ass." 3-time Royal Rumble winner, years being 1997, 98, and 2001. And of course, last but certainly not least, a 2009 Hall of Fame inductee. Stone Cold Steve Austin has been a true pioneer of the Attitude Era. That is the era that I grew up watching wrestling in, watching rivalries with him and Vince McMahon, watching rivalries with him and The Rock, watching rivalries with him and Triple H and D-Generation X, rivalries with him and Shawn Michaels. Stone Cold Steve Austin has done it all. Hell, he even pushed Mike Tyson. Stone Cold Steve Austin deserves every bit of the accolades that he's going to receive. He is a great mind for the wrestling business. He also has a great podcast out right now, and I also watch his Broken Skull sessions on the WWE Network, watching him interview a lot of the wrestlers. With his first show, he started right out the gate with The Undertaker, which was a hell of an interview. Stone Cold Steve Austin, man, also has his own IPA out as well. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Broken Skull IPA. He has his own beer, so I just want to give Stone Cold his flowers while he's here. I was definitely a huge fan of the Texas Rattlesnake, of the world toughest son of a bitch, Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Can't wait to see your documentary. And I can't wait to get this journey started even more with more episodes of Rob's Two Cents. I appreciate you guys for staying here with me. Please, you know the old adage, like the video, share the video, subscribe to your boy right here on Rob's Two Cents YouTube channel. You can also hear me on Spotify and other platforms that I would definitely have those links in the description of where you can listen to this podcast. I appreciate you guys for staying with your boy. We're going to have some fun. Let's just say this looks like the beginning to a very beautiful relationship. I love you guys. You guys stay up. This has been The Show That's Hot with your boy Rob Scott. You have watched My Two Cents. And we gone.